Well, today is Father's Day. And with that in mind, I thought I'd be really impressive. I thought I would. And so I did a lot of deep study on the etymology. Are you impressed there? Etymology? All right. That sounds like a vegetable that you would eat. But it's actually looking at the root, at what caused, where did a word come from? And so I wanted to be academic this morning, and so I decided to consult that great historian of everything, and I said something like, now it just left me, what's the word that you use when you're doing it on the phone? Siri, yes. Siri, what is the etymology of dad? And so she said, the etymology of dad, she said, first of all, unlock your phone. So I had to do that. And then she sent me to some websites, and it actually originated around 1500 or so, maybe 1600. But then others that I read about went back a little further than that. And you will just, I mean, you're going to be in shock. You really will. And so just kind of hold still. Most likely, the different ones that I referenced said it probably came from an infant going, dada, dada, dada. All right? So so I know you're impressed with my academic skills about daddy. All right. It came from dada. And I know with our older son, he was the oldest of the grandchildren. And so we kept trying to get him to say grandpa. And all would come out was beepop, beepop. And so all of the grandchildren for that whole line now have grown up calling their grandfather Beepop. And so yours probably has different names to it. But we have different individuals who are represented by different families and different ways that they are seen as being a father. I list six. And I'd like to clean off the pulpit. Sorry about that. It's just something that gets to me. But I have six different ways that a person can be seen as a father. It can be a biological father, or it can be like our adopted daughter here. It can be an adopted father. It can be a saved father, or it could be an unsaved father. It could be a living father, still with us, or it can be a deceased father. So you have six different ways. There's probably more, but some of those are mutually exclusive. Some of them have different ways to be, but you could have a saved father who is deceased, or you could have a living father who maybe is not saved. You could have a biological father who is saved. You could have an adopted father who's not saved. So there's different ways that we could come today as we would examine and say, all right, Brother Carollo, tell me about your dad. Or we could go to Brother Mills here and say, well, what about your dad? Or we could go to Brother Woodby, or we could come back to Brother Ward and say, tell me about living, deceased, saved, unsaved, biological, adopted. So there's all different ways that we could look at it. With that in mind, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs. To the book of Proverbs. We're actually going to go to about four different texts today. So unlike a lot of the messages that I'll preach from this pulpit, especially on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday night is a different type of study. Sunday night is actually a different type of study. And we're in soul winning now. We'll continue that tonight. And I kind of got ahead of myself when I said we're going to go do a study of the family on Sunday nights. We're not quite finished with Ephesians, and I can't stop with where we are. We've got to finish chapter 5 and chapter 6. Then we'll get to a study of the family based on the Word of God. And that is so very important. So very, very important. And we'll do that as time allows. But here we are in Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And if you look at verse number 1, I must have given the wrong text, did I? Okay, Proverbs 29. Maybe I didn't even give it, just the book of Proverbs maybe. But we're in verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So the injunction there, the command there, the warning there is to be careful. You keep a tender neck. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't work outside and you have heavy lifting that you have to do, and so your neck is toughened up by the weather or by usage of the muscles and so forth. No, he's talking about the tenderness of heart. When a person bows their neck, you've heard that, they bow their neck and they're obstinate and they're calloused and they don't care what you say. No, he says, he that oft being often reproved, listen, that's not right. You need to change that. Hardeneth his neck. I don't have to change. I'm just fine like I am. The Bible says, shall be suddenly destroyed and without remedy. Let's go on to verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We see that somewhat lived out in today's time in which we live. But let's go on to verse number 3. It's really the text that I would like us to look at. Whoso loveth wisdom, whoso loveth wisdom, rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. But let's look at the first part of that, because that's really the theme of this morning's message. Whoso, in other words, it's all inclusive, loveth wisdom, rejoiceth his father. The word his there could be inclusive of the ladies here among us this morning and listening online. In other words, the real theme is companioned. It's like two wheels on a bicycle. One provides the direction, the other provides the momentum. Notice what he says, whoso loveth wisdom, that's going to be the momentum, rejoiceth his father. It really provides the direction, and it's the direction where the steering is, so to speak, by the one who is living out wisdom. And the one who's going to enjoy that is the father. And so with that in mind, let's ask the Lord for his guidance, his wisdom, and my ability to communicate his will for this hour. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father, as we look at this text this morning and other texts as well, Lord, we who are listening and participating, myself included, we want to be an honor. We want to be a joy. We want to bring, because of wisdom exercised in our lives, we want to be that kind of a son or a daughter who constantly gives the gift that keeps on giving, if we could put it that way. And that is a son or a daughter who is so living out his or her life that they're bringing honor to their parent, whether they're deceased or unsaved or saved and living and biological or adopted. This verse just gives that declarative statement that whoso loveth wisdom rejoices the Father. I pray that your blessing will be upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the real thrust of it this morning is really not to the fathers, although there is an application there, because I assume that you are a son of someone previously. I'm just assuming that you have a birth certificate and not a lab report. That would not be good. And so all of us come in the same way. And so as we look at it this morning, we're going to look at it not so much preaching to the fathers and saying, here's the way you need to be as a father, but rather, as we who are the children of our dads, that we are looking at the quality of our wisdom, the quality of our lives, because we want to bring that kind of rejoicing to those that have been a place in our life, whether saved, unsaved, biological, adopted, living, or deceased. We want to bring that memory, those memories, and also that wisdom-based joy to their hearts. So with that in mind, let's look. We're going to take the word, and just briefly this morning, we're going to look at the word gift, G-I-F-T, a four-point outline, if I could put it that way, a four-point outline. And the first letter is G, the second outline, or second, number two, is the letter I, the third is F, and of course, the last letter is T. So if you and I want to be a blessing, now both of my parents are in heaven, so I don't have the opportunity today to say, all right, I'm going to be the right kind of a Bray. I'm going to be the right kind of a son of Wilson Bray and Evelyn Bray. But specifically this morning, by way of emphasis, is what kind of a child, what kind of an adult child, or what kind of a younger child am I to my parent? No matter how they are, because one day we'll see at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll see as Christians, and beyond that, we'll have the opportunity of hearing how our testimony has made an influence in someone else's life. Now, let's say that maybe you're here today and your parents are deceased. Let me invite you to do this. I do it. You don't have to do it because I do it. That doesn't make it beneficial or right. But this is what I do, is when my parents are deceased, there's been a number of times through the years since my dad went to heaven, my mother went to heaven, that I've adopted some parents. And I didn't always tell them that, but I always kind of tried to come alongside. And if I thought that maybe they were discouraged, maybe the ailments of age, maybe it was the challenges of life, whatever it was, that I tried to just give them a call if they were away, or I tried to go by and see them, or I'd write them a note and just wanted to say, Brother Hickok, or Brother whatever it is, Hodges, whatever the name was, just wanted you to know how much I appreciate your walk with the Lord. You have had an influence on my heart and life. It may have been in a secular way. It may have been an auto mechanics. Now, they would not want me to say that because it would not be. When I walk towards my car with a tool in hand, bad things are about to happen. And so they probably wouldn't want me to say, you've taught me everything I know about auto mechanics. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes I've not told them. Other times I've said, you know what? You're kind of like a spiritual dad to me, or you're like whatever to me, and I just want to tell you I love you, and I love you for the influence you've had on my life. When I went to Bob Jones Academy, I was 2,700 miles away from home. My parents lived in California, and so I lived in the dorms there, and there was a family who adopted me, the Morrises, and their son became my best friend through high school. And we just did everything together, everything together. He's been a missionary in South Africa for 40-something years. And they just were, and so I was able to say to Mrs. Morris, boy, you're my second mom. And to Mr. Morris, you're my second dad. And so maybe that's something you could do today instead of avoiding Father's Day or Mother's Day, ladies. Instead of that, just adopt someone and do for them what you would want to do for your dad or your mom if they were still here. There's many who avoid those kinds of days. They don't even come to church because of it. They don't go to this place or that because of the strain of not having mom or dad here. Turn that inside out. Sorry about that. Turn that inside out and just say, you know what? This is a way God can use me in that person's life. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something for them in honor of my mom or in honor of my dad. Well, that's just a suggestion. But let's look at it here, though, from these four things. The first one is the letter G, and that simply stands for gratitude. Gratitude. If you and I want to give a gift to an adopted dad or mom, but especially dads today, or your biological dad, if you want to be a blessing to them, oh, one of the greatest gifts. We're going to talk about four gifts. One of the greatest gifts that you can give them is that of gratitude. That of gratitude. Gratitude recognizes God's hand in divine placements. You say, preacher, you don't know my dad. My dad was like one of those that you would meet with before you came here at the detention center that most of them were federal prisoners. Oh, they were wicked men. They were abusers. They were this. They were that. One of them was up there on $1.5 million bond. And it was awful, preacher. My dad, if you just knew my dad. You're probably right. You're probably right. I would say, I'm so sorry. I'm so very sorry. But the truth is, was God still a sovereign God when he knew that you'd be in that family? I would say yes. Because God in his sovereign love for you placed you into a place where he knew that you would get the exposures, the things that you needed, so that this time in your life, whether you're 30 years old, 21 years old, 80 years old, no matter how old you are, that no doubt those things in your life have had an indelible influence, and yes, for the negative, and yet God says he can make beauty for ashes. He can take those very things that were done or said that were of a negative thing, and you can turn them out and turn them inside out, like I could turn this jacket inside out, and I would see a completely different exposure of this jacket. The right side out, I look at this. The inside out, it's complete, same jacket, but I look at it a completely different way. And I'm not going to try to get my sleeves back in there. It'll never happen. All right. But here's the point I'm trying to make is God knew that was going to happen. Maybe he so ordained it to happen that you would be in that particular family at that particular time for that number of days or weeks or years. When you and I understand that we're to have gratitude before a holy God, and we stop fussing about how I was reared. Stop fussing about, well, this shouldn't have happened. I wish I could have been in the Travis's home. I wish I could have been in Brother Nell's home. I wish I could have been in Brother Allen's home. I wish I could have been. Instead of that, saying, wait a minute, whoa, put the brakes on here a moment. Did God know about that? Yes, he did. Maybe there were some things God wanted me to learn for such a time as this. That maybe I see a young couple beginning to go in a direction. Maybe I see this beginning to happen. And God can use me to come alongside of them and say, hey, listen, let me tell you, there's a weakness that maybe I love you and you know I love you. I love you times 11. Not 12 maybe, but 11 at least. I'm teasing. But I love you. But even though I love you, I think I'm seeing something that maybe I'm not right. But I'm asking God to show you that if I'm right, he'll take it directly to your heart. If I'm wrong, I'm just going to ask him to dismiss it to where you don't even remember it. Gratitude. Gratitude is such a wonderful thing because it recognizes God's hand in divine appointment. It remembers occasions of spiritual advancement, even though you may have been in a very difficult place. As you know, I was a youth pastor for a number of years. Quite a few years ago, I was a youth pastor in Waco, Texas, for a preacher named John Collier. And one of the young people, he got saved. He was in our school. He got saved just before I moved there. And he became a part of the youth group that I led for a number of years. Joey's home was an unusual home. If any of his brothers wanted to bring a girlfriend home to spend the night, his mom would say, Joey, you need to leave your room and you shack up on the couch tonight because your brothers have a girlfriend that's going to sleep the night with us here. It was a tough home in which to be reared. And yet, Joey kept growing in the Lord in spite of some things. He went away to a very difficult Bible college. It was run like a Marine camp. But that was exactly what Joey needed. It was tough. If I'd have gone there, I'd have probably bailed out. If most of us had gone there, I'd probably bail out. But it was tough. But that was exactly what Joey needed for character purposes. Had no character whatsoever. And he would tell you that if he was standing here. Well, that's been a lot of years ago. And that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is this. Joey kept doing the right thing. He became the youth pastor of that church. A good-sized church there in Waco, Texas. A beautiful facility. He stayed as the youth pastor for quite a number of years. And if I'm not mistaken, then he became the administrator of a large Christian school. And about 6 months ago, Joey became the senior pastor. Okay? God knew what Joey needed back in those days. He became very active in the bus ministry. Had a large bus ministry. And became very active in it. My point is simply this, that when you and I consider as the young people, maybe not in age, but nonetheless, we're considered the child, an adopted child, a biological child. We're considered to be in the family of someone. I received a text message just earlier this morning from someone that Becky and I just consider a part of our family in a way. Had the privilege of doing some counseling quite a while ago. And just became a part of the family with her parents' permission. And so the point I'm trying to make is this, that no matter how you get into that family, when you have the gratitude, instead of looking down and saying, I wish I could have been, I wish it was awful. And maybe it was awful. Maybe it was terrible. And yet, look where you are today. Look what God's doing in your life. And so true gratitude to the Lord of saying, Lord, I would, if I could design it, I'd go back and I would have been born differently. But dear Lord, you knew what I needed to see. You knew what I needed, whether it was It was a special family. Mom and Daddy loved Jesus, and we were at church. I mean, I was at church before I was born. As soon as I was conceived, I was there. If I could get a pin on my lapel of how many years I've been in church, it would go nine. It would be however many years old at 9 months. I mean, it was there. So those kinds of families, if I could put it this way, are just special. Praise God for it. They're special. But other kinds of families, can we say it like this? Those other kinds of families, the special families are lived out. They see it. But the other ones that have memories that are not the best to remember, and yet understanding that God was a sovereign God then just as much as He is today and will be throughout eternity as He has been throughout eternity. Yes, the special families, praise God for them. I was reared primarily in that kind of a family. The right exposures, the right examples, the right, a lot of it. Not all of it, but a lot of it. But let's word it for the others that you're specialized families. Specialized families. In other words, God carved out for you those incidents and those exposures that when you would be able to get saved at whatever age, maybe as a youngster, maybe as an adult, having gone through whatever traumas of life before knowing Christ as Savior and beginning to grow in the Lord. Yes, those we would call those specialized as carved out by God of saying, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so as you look back and you say, you know what? Yes, I was reared in a godly home, or yes, I was reared in a less than godly home, or godliness was never even a factor in our home. Yet when we look back and we can say, to God be the glory, Romans 8:28 is still in the Word of God, and we know that all things, how inclusive is all things? That's right, all things is all inclusive. We know that all things work together. The idea there is synergy. It just all these things, I won't go into what synergy means again, but it has the idea that this can't do something without this, and this can't do something without this. But you put those two things together, and it's called synergy. We know that all things, if you took the Greek word for work together, and you moved it from Greek right over into English without translating it, it would look just like, it would be transliterated, it would look just like the word synergy, because that's where synergy comes from, is that Greek word. And God is saying, listen, it doesn't matter what's in your past. It doesn't matter those things as far as what I want to do in your life today. And as you and I understand, as children, adult or youngsters, we can give a gift to those we would call dad and mom too, but dad today, of being a son or a daughter who met the qualifications that we read in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 3. That if a son seeks after wisdom, he's going to be rejoicing his father. So as we look at it, gratitude recognizes God's hand in divine placement. It remembers the occasional of spiritual advancement. Matured gratitude praises God for the journey he knew. Matured gratitude. We're not talking about surface gratitude, because when you've been reared in settings which are difficult, maybe you've been knocked across a room, maybe you've been violated, maybe this or that or the other. But as you as a child of God realize, wait a minute, there's a way that God wants me to see all that I've been through. Does God rejoice in sin? No, He abhors it. But can God take those very things and carve into your character, carve into your exposures today that opportunity of being a blessing and giving that gift of gratitude? If you do not have that, bitterness will so lodge within you. It's why the Bible says that bitterness doth eat as a canker or as a cancer. And so the first gift that you can give to that one you love this morning is gratitude. We better hurry, we're going to run out of time. Ephesians chapter 6. Would you just turn there with me, please, just real quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. And it's a brief passage of Scripture, verses 1 and 2. You're familiar with it. Children, He starts out, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's not always easy to obey your parents. That's why he puts the prepositional phrase in there, in the Lord, in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now notice what he says in verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Two different Old Testament scriptures. We'll not look at those this morning, but two Old Testament scriptures give indication of that. Now let's look at number two. The letter I would be as a gift to dad's integrity. The first is gratitude and integrity. If you want to, you can turn there. And if you want to just listen, I'm going to turn in my Bible to the book of Job and chapter number 2 and verse 3. It says this about Job. Job chapter 2 and verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. And then he gives five things about him. A perfect and an upright man. One that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now listen to this. And still holdeth fast his integrity. God's saying this about Job. He's a perfect man. He's complete. He fears me. He's one that holdeth fast his integrity. He escheweth, he hateth evil, but he holdeth fast his integrity. Integrity, if I could put it this way, results from conviction that is bolstered by character. So the second gift that you and I can give, my mother and dad are in heaven, as I said, but even as I'm here and they're there, I believe they have the opportunity, maybe even now, but certainly at the judgment seat of Christ, for me to be that kind of a son to Wilson and Evelyn Bray, but especially to Wilson today, I can be that kind of son living today, not like I did as a teenager, not necessarily like I did in other times when I was running from God and bringing great heartache to my mother and dad. No doubt about that at all. But in this present day, having gotten right with the Lord and wanting to live for the Lord and wanting to be what God wants me to be, at the same time that I'm just walking in the light as He is in the light and I'm putting my feet going in the direction of God's will for my life and you for your will of God's will in your life, as we're doing that, integrity, as I put it, integrity results from conviction that is bolstered by character. There's many that say, well, here's what I believe. Yes, I believe this is what God wants in my life. And yet there's no character there to make him follow through. Praise God for dads. Those not with us, those who are with us today. But especially looking at it today as a son and the rest, daughters and sons represented here, that if you want your dad to rejoice, then be a man or a woman of character. Be a man or a woman of integrity. You don't need 14 Philadelphia lawyers to tie you down in a contract, and you may have to in today's world, but you don't have to say dad, mom, or employer, or employ, whatever. You don't have to have them writing out, and here's what we're going to do, and I give my word, I'll sign my name, I'll have it notarized by 11 notaries, and you can go to the bank on this. No. Because of the character that you have, or will have with God's help, that when you have that character and it is married to conviction, and conviction leads the way, it's the one that provides the momentum, but it's character that steers it, saying, well, there's a part of me that doesn't want to. I don't want to ask forgiveness. I don't want to follow through with what I told the Lord I would do. I don't want to do this. Yes, when I would do good, evil is present with me. But the integrity of your heart, what a gift to a parent that is when they have a youngster who says, okay, I said I'd wash the dishes. Wish my sister had washed them. I wish the neighbor had washed them. I got to stick my hands down in that yuck. It's called dishwater. And it's going to come up. And they don't mind mud if they're playing. And they don't mind grease if they like working on it. But sticking them down where there's tomato sauce. And I mean, just stuff in there. That's. They said, wait a minute. I told mom and dad I'd obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Mama says, daddy says, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make myself do it. Conviction that is bolstered by character is what results. And it is such a blessing. What a gift. And the integrity remains there. Hardened integrity endured, or integrity endured, or hardness endured. Let me rewrite as I have it written for myself. Hardness endured champions God's will in God's ways. Let me say that again. Hardness endured champions God's will and God's ways. And it tutors righteous responsibilities and righteous responses. When you say, I want to be a man of character, I want to be a woman of character, and yes, even though my parent may be saved, unsaved, biological, adopted, whatever the setting that I'm in today, I want to so govern my life and my convictions, and I'm going to bolster it by character. This is the right thing to do. The New Testament word for that is virtue. Doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason in the right place. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. As you and I understand, wait a minute, integrity means something. Integrity is my conviction saying I know what God wants me to do, and yes, I want to do that, but the character comes along, and when we do that, and we have hardness that's endured, it tutors us. It's a schoolmaster, if we could put it that way, that leads us in the direction of God's will. Because in God's will, there's going to be plenty of voices that say, oh, you don't have to do that. Why, that's just too much. Or that's, you'll never have a friend. Or you'll never make money. Or you'll never do this. Or you'll never do that. But yet instead, you say, I want to be a man of character. I want to be a woman of character. I don't want to just be a pew sitter. I don't want to just be a son or a daughter on a birth certificate. I want to be that man, that woman God wants me to be so that I can give the gift that keeps on giving to those who call me their biological daughter or their biological son, or whether it's somebody that looks to me as being the spiritual father. I want to be a blessing to them, even though maybe we're not around each other much or at all, and yet when they get word of me, and maybe Gabriel sends out a message to whomever it is. Oh, let me tell you what's going on in her life, in his life now, should that take place. Then as you and I have conviction that's bolstered by character, hardness endured then will be that blessing as we do it. And so for today, that gift patterns the priorities that you've learned. That gift today patterns the priorities so that you say, okay, this, yes, I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do that, and oh, this is this over here that's saying this needs to be done because I've given my word on it. This needs to be done because of my position. This needs to be done because of, boy, I'd love to be, okay, all right. Character, get it in line. Here's what I know is the right thing, and I'm gonna make myself do that. And you see many, many illustrations throughout the Word of God, such as Paul said to his adopted son, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we just say, all right, when I do that, but it's not a one-sense game. It's not just, okay, it's a one and off. I did that, now I'm finished. No, when you and I do that, that conviction bolstered by character becomes strength. It's like when I first started working out with gymnastics and years ago. And if I did it now, I'd be suspended or whatever you call it in the hospital. This arm would be over here, that arm would be there. Leg would be over there if I even tried now. But the point is, when I started working out, I got this stuff that really hurt all through me. I mean, it was my arms, it was my chest. I thought it was in my toenails. It's called lactic acid. It's that thing that works in your muscles when your muscles don't want to work. It's painful. Now, if it stays in there, then it becomes a problem. But the lactic acid really serves an athlete by saying, it's happening. You're building muscle. You're building muscle. You're going to be able to do that, whatever it is. Farming, gymnastics, whatever the application is. When you and I say in character and in integrity, I know it's what a church member ought to do. I know this is what a Christian ought to do. I know this is what a dad ought to do. This is what a son ought to do. This is what a daughter ought to do. Do they deserve it? Maybe not. God doesn't want me to act according to what they deserve. God wants me to act as I model my obedience as to how God loved me and how I am to honor God. I honor Him because He is my Heavenly Father. I honor Him because He is God. Integrity. Well, we better hurry. That gift that keeps on giving. You have gratitude, and then we've looked at integrity from Job chapter 2. Number 3 is the letter F, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. When there's a son or a daughter, and there's something between mom and dad, and maybe it's between dad and son, dad and daughter, and mom and daughter or son, and the gift that keeps on giving in this matter of being a child, no matter how you're a child, adopted or whatever, however it is, forgiveness rejoices in intentional restoration. Forgiveness rejoices in intentional restoration. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be between mom and dad or dad and son, dad and daughter. It can be between brothers and sisters. I have two uncles. I've mentioned it before. Over 50 years ago, their wives, early in their marriages, they used to get together every weekend, and make homemade ice cream together. Their families. Something happened between the two wives. They decided not to speak until somebody humbled themselves and got it right. That's been over 50 years ago. As far as I know, they have never spoken to each other since. They did go to the same room at my grandmother's funeral. I watched them as they nodded to each other, and that was it. Forgiveness, as I put it here, forgiveness rejoices in intentional restoration. Why? Because clear-eyed accountability models the temporal upon the eternal. Let me say it again. Forgiveness rejoices in intentional restoration. It's not accidental, and it's not easy. When you go to someone and they've wronged you, and you create a setting of righteousness where if they will but follow the Word of God in Mark and other places of Scripture, where you go to them, you create a setting of righteousness where they have the ability to ask forgiveness. And some of that has happened recently, with some even in our church. To God be the glory. Amen? Maybe still needs to happen. Amen? And if that isn't necessary, and I'm not sure that it is, but if it is necessary, then what it does is forgiveness rejoices intentionally, goes after it. Why? For purposes of restoration. And as I put it here, clear-eyed accountability. Why? Because I'm going to appear before God. The book of Mark says, if I'm standing and praying and saying, oh Lord, I want to tell you I love you, He says, stop praying. He says, if someone has aught against you, you go to them and you get reconciled to them, and then you come back and you pray. So your prayer life is adversely affected. Your fellowship is adversely affected. You're going to have baggage that you're carrying around, and it's weighing you down spiritually because you're not right with God, because you're not right with someone else, and you've not even created a setting where they can get right with you if that's what's necessary. But when you have clear eyes about it, you know what that means. You know, sometimes you get sand in your eyes. I grew up in Arizona, and dust storms happen out there. I mean, just the tumbleweeds going like crazy, and you just get, oh, you get dust in your eyes, and boy, it's just hard to see, and you get the water, and you just wash them out, and then finally, after a while, you can be clear-eyed again. And that's what forgiveness needs to do. Clear-eyed accountability models the temporal, what's going on right now after the eternal. Might need to plug your ears, but it goes like this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Well, it is true. The treasures are laid up. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but where thieves break through. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, neither do thieves break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But we're also talking about the accountability of God's wanting to use you in somebody else's life. And as long as you are encumbered by the stuff of yesteryear, you're not patterning that forgiveness model after eternal things. You're doing about whether they deserve it or whether you're too embarrassed or whether it's been too much time. But God is saying the gift that keeps on giving, the letter F is for forgiveness. And as I close, the letter T is for testimony. The letter T is for testimony. Oh, testimony represents home in heaven. Oh, I trust that that is your testimony if you're here this morning or listening online. Oh, my goodness, run to the cross if you're not saved. Call on the Lord Jesus to save you. He's willing. He's ready. He's already paid the price for your sins. You can't pay the price for them. My goodness, no. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His righteousness, by His mercy, He saved us. Titus chapter 3, I believe. So as you and I think about how can I come to that place of a solid testimony? It starts with salvation, where you have a home in heaven. And where we say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for, oh, as we just come to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. If you're listening this morning here in the auditorium or online, and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. And I invite you, I implore you, I beseech you, if I could put it that way, to come to the end of yourself and realize eternity is facing you. You just don't see it yet. It's just like an oasis in the desert that you're going along, and maybe there's an oasis 300 yards ahead, and you can't see it. It's over another sand dune. And you're despairing, and you're saying, I'm going to die in this desert. And yet there's plenty of fresh water and palm trees just beyond the next sand dune. You say, there's no hope for me. Oh, just go beyond yourself, friend, and look to the cross. Throw yourself on His mercy. And say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and because of my sin, I deserve to go to hell. But I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, Lord, come into my heart, wash away my sin, be my Savior. And the Bible says, for whosoever, that has your name in it, by the way, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when we're talking about this matter of testimony, and we're talking about it represents a home in heaven, but it also represents heaven in the home. What kind of testimony do you have with your family members? I'm not talking just about mom and dad. I'm talking about your children, or I'm talking about your siblings. I'm talking about your spiritual family. What kind of a testimony do you have here? On and off, hot and cold, aggravated, sweet. What's the testimony? And when you and I look at this gift that keeps on giving, what a blessing it is to a mom and a daddy. Or for others who would say, oh, it is such a blessing. Like the text I received this morning, this young lady said, I'm continuing to grow in the Lord, and I'm planning on it. What a thrill. What a thrill. I'm not even her daddy. I'm just someone that was kind of adopted in a way, and along with my wife, and just to kind of help her out through some troublesome times. And we became somewhat of a family. When I got that this morning, I just went, oh, and I, you made my day. Why? Because she struggled a lot. But she's not struggling at least as much now. Victory is part of her testimony. Simple message from my heart to yours. I struggled with this outline. I actually threw it away several times. It says, not working. It just isn't working. God kept bringing it back. I can take you to the trash cans at home and here and show you. No, it's not working. Evidently, God has someone in mind. Maybe this is the day to have gratitude. Maybe this is the day to put a little starch in your character. In those things that you don't want to do, but you know are right to do. And so, okay, all right, conviction is bolstered by character. And that brings about integrity. She's a man, or she's a woman of her word. He's a man of his word. Maybe it's gratitude, maybe it's integrity, maybe it's forgiveness. Oh my, oh my. Are you familiar with the old song, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning? The story behind that, and I'll be finished, the story behind that, and I don't remember which place on the coast it was, but in yesteryear, they would have the lighthouse, And the ships would come in, and they would be able to tell, all right, here's where the harbor is, and there's safe passage. We know where the place where we can pull our boat, no matter how deep it is, and in the water line and so forth. And so, but that lighthouse failed to work. There was a resident there that thought, wait a minute, they're going to run upon the rocks and not know where they are. They're going to think it's safe travel, and they're going to run along the rocks. And so whomever it was, obtained lanterns or candles, I presume lanterns. And all around where the bay would open up into the canal, where they could have safe passage, they took the lanterns and put them all along so they would see, in here is safe travel. Land over here and you'll be upon the rocks, and damage is certain, perhaps loss of life. That individual said, I want to make sure that I'm traveling and that they are traveling in safe journey. When you and I think today about how are we traveling, are we that blessing to those who are out and away from us? So that as they think about us, they have safe journey into, well, yes, it may have been that way as a teenager. It may have been this way in their adulthood. It may have been this way in their senior years. It may have been, but understanding, wait a minute, as I think about it, gratitude says, wait a minute, it's not necessarily about gratitude that I was abused, gratitude that whatever it was that happened, but rather it's a gratitude that God's in control. And He must have had something in mind to allow me to go through that so that now in this day and time, I can be used of God in an expanded way in other people's lives, that if I had not had those exposures like Joey had or like others have had, my abilities would be handicapped to help that individual. Gratitude, integrity, forgiveness, and testimony. Several other verses I had planned on visiting, but perhaps this is all that needed to be taken or needed to take place this morning. Is for Randy Bray and those in the opportunity of hearing me preach this morning, of just saying, Lord, what are you doing in my life? What kind of a son, what kind of a daughter am I? Not just to those around me, adopted, biological, but wait a minute, I've been saved. I have a Father in heaven. And if I'm willing to violate the trust that you have in me as your child, Lord, I'm willing to, it's an easy thing for me to violate the trust that others have. So maybe I need to come back and be grateful for what you've done for me. Maybe there needs to be that conviction that's bolstered by character in doing what I know you want me to do. Maybe it's not only in gratitude and in conviction or in integrity, but maybe it's also in forgiveness, receiving it from you. Feeling like you'll never forgive me. But He says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. That's our sins and cleanses from all unrighteousness. Maybe it's forgiving someone else. Dear friend, as you and I are here together, what kind of a testimony do we have before God and others? I trust it's a gift that keeps on giving. That they experience it now, they'll experience it next month, they'll experience next year, they'll just keep on. And that every time your name comes to their mind, it's that sweet savor that Paul wrote about to the Corinthian church. That sweet savor. Oh, it just lingers there. And it's a joy to behold. I trust that's what we have. And that's what we're modeling for our children and our grandchildren. Will you pray with me, please? Father, what an opportunity of dedication we have before us today. A simple message, Lord. But one that I believe has these four essentials of gratitude, integrity, forgiveness, and kind of wrapping it all up in our testimony. Father, there may be one or more here today in which one or more of these have really kind of touched the toes, more importantly, the heart. And I pray, Lord, that as we consider these things today, that this will be that day of decision that'll get a hold of that character and a hold of that conviction, and it becomes integrity. I'll do what God wants me to do. I'll go where God wants me to go. I'll be what God wants me to be. That being the case, the others will follow in like fashion. We pray that that'll be the case today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.